Well, it is a Tuesday. What do? We do the Dial-A-Doc program here today, and we have pediatrician from FHN, Dr. Sarah Beeves, with us here today. Dr. Beeves, good morning. Hello to you.
Good morning. Hello.
Thanks for joining me. Thanks for joining me here today. Dr. Beeves' topic here today is keeping kids healthy over the summer months. And, you know, I know that summer's always a season of bumps and bruises for kids. And I guess, what are the most common types of ailments and illnesses that you see in the summer months, Dr. Beeves?
So a lot of course, we see more injuries typically in the summer months. We see a lot of accidents with, you know, bikes, trampolines out in the summer on those, scooters, motorized vehicles, things like that. We see more burns, you know, with the 4th of July, head injuries with some of that motorized stuff, of course, fractures. Those are a lot of the injuries we see. There are, people don't think of illnesses in the summer, but there are summertime colds, foodborne illnesses, things like that.
And I know, you know, it's summer, you know, we hear about kids, you know, staying inside, but, you know, it's playing outside. That's just part, and it continues to be being part of being a kid, right?
Exactly. You got to do it.
All right. What types of things can parents do to keep their kids safer?
Well, for sports, for one thing, they can make sure they have the proper equipment. You know, it's fitting properly. Well, the motorized vehicles, that's a lot of injuries. Kids are just not mature enough. They don't have the self-control, so probably avoiding that until at least they have a driver's license. Some other illnesses we see are tick-borne illnesses and, you know, wearing your bug repellents, things like that, especially if you're in a real high-risk area. Fireworks, wearing hearing protection, even with summer concerts, things like that. Or mowing is another thing that, you know, older kids will do. Those are some of the things I can think of to help prevent some of it.
What about, you know, kids, of course, outside, a day like today, out in the sun and the heat? Talk a little bit about what parents should think about there.
So sun, of course, sunburn, all that adds up on skin damage and skin cancers, you know, we want to prevent. Probably one of the big things is limiting exposure. You know, the hottest parts of the day, usually 10 until 2 or 10 until 3 or 4, somewhere like that, depending on the time of year. Using SPF 15 or 30 or higher, want to make sure to do that. I always tell people to make sure to put it on when you're cool, like inside, so you have better benefit from it. If you put it on when you're sweating, it comes off. Always reapply with sweating. Always reapply after you've been in the water, things like that. But then protective gear, hats, sunglasses, you know, UV protective clothing, and, of course, get in the shade whenever you can.
We're talking to FHN pediatrician Dr. Sarah Beeves today on the FHN Dial-A-Doc program. Dr. Beeves, what about in terms of summer allergies? Let's first talk about, you know, ongoing ones like asthma-related issues, pollen allergies, those types of things. Tell us about that.
Sure. So with allergies, I tend to always recommend, you know, starting 6 months and up, we can do the 24-hour allergy meds. And I really like that because if you give Benadryl, it works great, although it does have a sleepiness factor. But it's hard to get coverage for 24 hours. You know, you have to give it 4 or 6 times a day. You know, allergy-related issues, there's, you know, called an atopic triad, but it involves like the IgE-related diseases like eczema, allergies, asthma. So if your allergies aren't in good control, oftentimes your asthma's not. So that's the easiest thing to keep your asthma under control. And avoiding different things, whatever your allergy trigger is, if you don't know, you know, you can find out or try to find out with testing, but avoiding those triggers, you know, are different for different allergies. You know, dust, we encase the pillows, the mattresses, you know, pet allergies, at least try to keep them out of the room. You know, outdoor pollen, like you said, that's, you know, with that, we have to, like, shower before bed. Those might be the kids that you go from, you know, summer to winter, heat to air. You know, you don't ever open up the windows and let all that into the room. You spend half your day in your room sleeping, so...
What about the isolated allergic reaction, like, you know, insect bites, bee stings, those kinds of things? Talk about that.
So in insect bite, most people aren't allergic to those things. You know, one way to tell, sometimes people, if they get a lot of swelling in one area, they think they have an allergy. Kind of how I explain it, if it's connected to the swelling, even if it gets stung on the hand and it swells up until your, you know, elbow even, you know, that's probably not an allergy. If you're having hives, swelling, itching at other parts of your body, tongue swelling, breathing issues, something like that, that you need to be seen for. You know, give Benadryl immediately and seek help, even 911 if that you're having breathing issues. But if it's swelling, you know, connected to the bite or sting or whatever it was, then that's probably just localized reaction, cool compresses, Benadryl.
What about current collective wisdom here now on types of medication and doses as well for children and pain relievers, if they have a sprained ankle or they have something that they treat for pain? What's your recommendation on that?
Okay, for pain relievers, under 6 months of age, only Tylenol is recommended. After 6 months of age, you can use Tylenol or ibuprofen. Ibuprofen's in the NSAID family. I tend to go more towards the ibuprofen on older kids just for the, like you said, the sprains, the anti-inflammatory effect. Tylenol and ibuprofen both have fever reducer, pain reliever, but that anti-inflammatory for a sprain, a strain, you know, sore throat, earache, things like that, it works better.
What about parents in terms of your just general advice as a healthcare provider? When should parents bring their child to either you or to the ER as opposed to trying to treat it on their own?
Well, parents are pretty good about using their instincts there. You know, if they're having shortness of breath or their asthma's not responding to their rescue inhaler, things like that. If they're having a severe allergic reaction, of course. Cuts, that lacerations that, you know, need a suture or staple, something like that. And, of course, mental status changes, but people usually know that. Or prolonged fever, too. Yeah, excuse me.
Got it. No, that's all right. What about, and now I understand you're going to be soon providing care at FHN Family Health Care Center at Pecatonica soon. Tell us about that.
I am. I'm very excited about that. So I've been providing care right now in pediatrics at Burchard Hills in Freeport. I'm now going to be starting one half day a week in Pecatonica, and depending how busy that gets, I'll increase from there half days. I'll be in Pecatonica on Wednesday afternoons. I'll be at Burchard Monday, Thursday, Friday from 8 to 5, and then the Wednesday mornings, 8 to noon, I'll be at Freeport also.
All right, good. And if someone, Dr. Beeves, wants to make an appointment for their child to see you, how can they do that?
Yep. So at the Pecatonica Clinic, they can call there. It's 815-239-1400. And then for the Freeport Clinic, you can call 815-599-7755. Of course, they can always call the main number, or they can also get on our website, www.fhn.org.
All right, Doc, great to meet you. Thank you very much. Nice to talk to you. We'll talk again soon, all right?
Thanks, you too. Have a good day.
All right, Dr. Sarah Beeves, FHN pediatrician on the FHN Dial-A-Doc program, the preceding brought to you by and sponsored by FHN.